What's going on, everybody? You're listening to the Introverted Nerd Watches. I am Reese, and I'm back for The Gifted, everybody. And in this episode, I watched season 2, episode 5, Aftermath. So The Gifted is back from their 1 week break for the freaking World Series. Like, who cares about baseball? I was so mad. I had my Twitter fingers ready to live tweet The Gifted, and then fucking baseball is on. Ugh. Anyway, that's over now, and hopefully there will be no more interruptions. Yeah. So, about Aftermath, it's the aftermath of everything that happened the 2 weeks ago, where Reva and crew broke the girl out of the mental institution. And so this was another sort of setup episode, setting up what's coming next. And I didn't hate this episode, but I'm ready to see what Reva's plan is. I'm ready for things to start moving a little bit faster. I don't want to be impatient. I want them to set things up, but I don't want to be every week with Reva and crew trying to find another person to bring forth her like master plan. It was Lorna, and she needed Lorna and what's his name? Angsty Andy. The major part of the plan, it was train Andy to break into whatever they had to break into. And now it's the new girl, Rebecca, break her out of the mental institution because she's the real key to everything that Reva wants to do, according to the Cuckoos. I don't want her to be amassing an army week by week. I want to see what she has planned. I want to know what she's going to do next. So, and from the little flashes of what I saw from what's happening next week, I wasn't paying a ton of attention, but it looks kind of like we're about to get some action happening. So I'm excited about that. Caitlin, I'm try so hard with her. Caitlin and Jace, I try so hard to be empathetic with them. You know, Jace, his dead child and his obvious trauma, and Caitlin loving her son and wanting to save him and protect him. I try so hard with them, but they're the worst. I mean, I can't with either of them. Jace is about to become the leader of the fucking Purifiers. Like, that's awful. Caitlin is just, she's the worst. she's like truly the worst. And I can't with her anymore. The Strukers are just so annoying. Everybody's annoying me right now. I'm annoyed by the Strukers. I'm kind of annoyed by John and Marcos. I'm annoyed with John's, like, I get it. He's, you know, he feels like he let everyone down. What happened to the underground, his fault, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to deal with, you know, his being over the top every week. Like, I don't know. Go have sex with Clarice. I mean, I like them together. I like my Thunder Blink. So just be healed by, you know, the beautiful Clarice and everything will be great. or let Clarice lead this group. I got lots to say about this episode. So before I get too deep into this, subscribe to the podcast for me. On Apple Podcasts, subscribe over there. Leave me a 5-star review. You can also subscribe on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate and review the podcast for me. Recommend the podcast to all of your friends and family, and I can have a happy day. So let's get deep into this. Let's start with Jace, because Jace. So we see that his wife is about to be his ex-wife. She sent him divorce papers. Like, how does she send him? He's staying in a hotel. So she really got her shit together. She was like, fuck this. I'm not waiting for this guy to get back to Atlanta. I'll send divorce papers to a fucking hotel. I'm like, go girl. He is out of control. I completely get it. I totally support, I forget his wife's name, but I totally support her, like, going her own way. She's trying to deal with the death of her daughter. Her husband is out of his mind over here. He's just obsessed with capturing mutants. And on the one hand, I get it. Mutants killed your daughter. But on the other hand, these are not the mutants that killed your daughter. So he's just obsessed with mutants all around and he can't see things clearly. And he's sort of dragging her down. So I completely support her getting the F out of there. Like, leave Jace. He is no good right now. And we see that he's also, while he's... he's looking at pictures, like, he completely hit rock bottom in this episode. So he's looking at, he got the divorce papers. He's looking at pictures of his dead daughter. And he's watching, the gifted equivalent of Fox News, where Peter Gallagher and his eyebrows are, they're evil. He's like an evil politician on Fox News or something, or maybe he's not a politician, but he's on Fox News talking about how horrible mutants are and being a Fox News person. Like, do I have to really describe it? He's being a Fox News person with his beautiful eyebrows, and I can't take it. That dude has great hair though. Like, I don't know how old Peter Gallagher is, and I don't know whether that's a wig or anything. I don't think it's a wig. But he does really have great hair, but he hates mutants, and I wonder if he's going to come back, because we only see him in this little segment on TV, so maybe it was just like a little cameo for people that would recognize him, and I certainly did. So Peter Gallagher and his eyebrows have been used for the side of evil. And I can't take it. So anyway, Jace definitely rock bottom. And while all this is happening, he gets a text message from the dude from the purifiers to meet up. And he's sort of like, he sort of like laughs at it. Like, of course, this is what I get right now. And he can't say no. So he goes to the meeting and they're basically having a white supremacist meeting. And that's what makes me so mad at him. Like, that he's a black man and he doesn't recognize it, or he's being willfully obtuse, listening to their rhetoric, or maybe he just doesn't care. He's just fuck it. Like, maybe he's at the point where it's just like, fuck it. I don't care about anything else. I have nothing else. I'm going to get these fucking mutants. And it doesn't help that he's right about the mutants that he's searching for. He's right that they're alive. So, it kills me that he's right. I hate that he's right. But he's so wrong. He's going about everything the wrong way. So, whatevs. But this meeting where they're just talking about people, they're making a plan, because also on the news, there's the hashtag mutant uprising happening on TV, where there's mutant protesters all over the place. And the protests are becoming sort of violent. There's fires, everything, blah, blah, blah. And the next protests are supposed to be happening in the DC area the next day. And the plan for the purifiers' plan is to go and basically attack the protesters the next day, because they're, no, I was about to say they're race traitors, but they're not race traitors, or they're whatever. He's just making his point that they need to attack the protesters. And Jay stands up and is like, how about we don't do that? You know, if you go attack the protesters, you make them look like martyrs. You look like the bad and crazy ones, and they look like the victims. And he gives them the idea to go find the fugitive mutants, the ones that were released from the mental institution, and to find all of them and to take them to the police so that they look like they're being productive citizens by finding these, you know, fugitives, because, you know, all of these people were locked away. They got out in a less than legal way. They were basically broken out of a jail. And there has to be, I mean, even though we all know that it was like a terrible place, and a lot of those people, or maybe all of those people, were there against their own will, you can't just break them out. That's not how shit works for any government anywhere ever. So that's Jace's plan. And they go about, they follow him. You know, he comes with a level of authority because he used to work for Sentinel Services. So they automatically just buy into what he says. And so, like, he's not even, I don't know if he planned to lead the purifiers at any point. I don't know at what, but he's not even really the leader right now, but you can so totally see he's leading them with he's sort of pseudo leading them without really being the leader, because he's completely new there. When he stands up in that meeting, he says, you know, I know I'm like new here, I'm just a guest here, but here's what you here's what you should do, you know, here's how things work. So, like, he's really stepping into, the purifiers are terrible. Like, you know, the thing that Reva describes where they murdered her friend, the girl, the mutant with the Morlocks who had her voice box cut out because the purifiers were scared. Like, they do terrible, terrible shit. And if Jace is going to be a part of that, there's no coming back from that for him. Like, I'm already almost done with him anyway. I've lost kind of all the empathy I have for him and his dead daughter. You join the purifiers and you're dead to me. Like, you're completely done. So he can't be a part of, like, if they ever get truly violent with mutants and it gets to a point where they're like beating and mutilating people, he can't come back from that. So I don't know. Do they want to bring him back? Do they want him to go full on evil? Because right now he's sort of walking a line. So I wonder, do they want him to be like full on villain? because, you know, he's sort of in a place where you can see where he's coming from, but I don't know. He's getting on my nerves though. And I'm like, he leads the purifiers to the clinic. The part of his idea is to go to all the mutant clinics, to the clinics that serve mutants, and to find out, you know, to search those places and to see if they can find any of the fugitive mutants. And they eventually go to the one that Caitlin and crew work at. And they hide all of the mutants, but they end up breaking, you know, they break into the place where one of the nurses tries to call the police, and they, you know, break in, and it's just sort of a mob of the purifiers in there. They end up beating a doctor. And he's the one that they call a species traitor or a race traitor or something like that. They call him. I forget the exact term that they use for him, but they beat him up, like beat him bloody. And Jace makes the guy stop beating him because good on that guy. Like, he never gives any of them away. Like, I don't know. like he beat the shit out of him with he had like a big gun, like a shotgun or something. He was like, he was beating him with the shotgun. His, you know, he's all bloody and, you know, kicking him on the ground. And Jace makes him stop, but not before he like really fucks him up. So, yeah. So is this what I can't believe this is what he's going to do. Like, I don't know. I thought that there would be a limit for him. I thought, like, in this episode, I thought that he would be, because we see, for Jace, we see the sort of pre-credit, the sort of cold open was with him, and we see a flashback to when he was a rookie cop, and his, you know, new partner who was teaching him the ropes. We see the new partner sees a mutant on the street, like standing in front of a store waiting for someone. And he decides to go and immediately starts to attack him, asking for ID, asking, you know, who he's waiting for. And when the mutant refuses to answer and, you know, is basically defending himself, saying that he didn't do anything wrong, the cop tases him. And Jace tries to speak up, or not tries. He does speak up and say, you know, hey, why are you doing this? You know, this is not what we're supposed to be doing. The cop basically tells him, like, yo, dude, you're a rookie and I'm saving you. And it's basically like, you have to get them before they get us. Yeah. And he told Jace, you know, I saved you. Basically, I saved you. I've saved your wife and your daughter from becoming, you know, a widow and a fatherless child. And that's how he justified it. And Jace never said anything else after that. So he knew it was wrong. He recognized what was going on was wrong. And he tried to stand up or speak up. But in the end, he sort of went along with it. And that's kind of what we see with the purifiers, except this time he's the one in authority and he's pushing forward. So after they, you know, Jace takes some of the records from the clinic, and the end of the episode ends with him calling, you know, his fellow purifiers and telling them, like, yo, I found some things about in these records about the mutants, and now we're going to hit them where they live. So next is they don't have any authority. Like, he's walking around like he has some sort of he still has authority as sort of a police officer or as a officer in Sentinel Services, but he doesn't really have any authority. He's a vigilante at this point. You know, the purifiers are vigilantes at this point. So it's going to be wild to see what happens next with him. But he's nuts and he's annoying. And I want him to get his ass beat at this point. Yeah, I'm ready for him to get his ass beat. So let's go to what was happening at the clinic on the other side. So Caitlin, what's his name? John, Marcos, they bring Lauren back. Lauren is fine. She basically had a concussion. Caitlin finally realizes, like, oh shit, I could have lost my daughter too. And I was like, finally, finally you recognize you have a daughter, that Andy is not your only child, and Lauren went out there and put herself on the line trying to, I mean, it was her decision, and he's her brother as well, and she loves her brother, and she wanted to, you know, bring him home. But it was also kind of wrong for her parents to just be okay with her going out there and risking her own safety just to bring Andy back. And so, you know, we get some crying from Caitlin, and I was happy with her. Like, in this first few moments, I was like, okay, finally, you know, Caitlin apologizes to Lauren and tells her that she shouldn't have let her go. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Caitlin has finally recognized that even if she wants to save Andy, Andy doesn't want to come back. And she has to, you know, recognize some sort of hard truths. And I was like, finally, you know, I can get on board with this Caitlin, who, you know, I can get on board with her right now. But no, she leaves the room. She goes to talk to John. John, who has a injured mutant in his hands. The injured mutant is secreting some sort of acid from his, you know, from his skin. His, you know, he's secreting acid. He's burning John's shit up. Like, John's hands are burning. His clothes are burning off from this acid. By the way, this was just a way to get the actor to take his shirt off. And, well, I'm not complaining, because he's a very pretty man. That was all that was this was for. So no complaints, but you're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the show is basically saying. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. He took his shirt off. His hair was all, his beautiful hair was out for everybody to see. So yeah, I mean, that was worth the price of admission, right? But anyway, so John's shit is all fucked up, like, right now. He's going to be okay. Like, obviously he heals faster. He has that healing thing, but he's burning, like, his shit is burning with acid. And Caitlin walks in and is like, why is Andy not with you? And I'm like, God damn it, Caitlin. Like, really, girl? You see him. And John is trying to explain to her, like, yo, we had other priorities. Mutants were hurt. Like, you see, you, like, I'm carrying a fucking mutant secreting acid in here to get help from you, and you're asking me why Andy isn't with us? It's like, your daughter was hurt. Andy was the one that hurt her. Like, what? Like, what? Like, Kate, I want to pull my fucking hair out just listening. Like, just thinking about this. So she keeps going. She's like, could you not track him? Like, I'm like, Caitlin, Andy is not the number one priority. Sorry. And John was being actually nicer than I would have been, because I would have been like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck Andy. Like, I don't give a shit about Andy. Like, we got other shit, bigger things going on. Andy is an enemy right now. Andy is a part of the problem. So, and I mean, I guess we're supposed to put up with this, because she eventually she apologizes once John talks to her, and he's telling her how horrible he feels that they lost Lorna and Andy, and about what happened to the underground, and while, you know, he's just sorry about everything that happened. Like, it's all, the weight of the world is on his shoulders right now. And she finally realizes, like, oh, I mean, kind of realizes that she is adding to his burden. So she apologizes. She tells him that, you know, none of this was, you know, it wasn't his fault, basically. So it was like, I mean, okay, but I don't want to do this with her every episode, where she's asking like where Andy is, you know, how can we save Andy? And it's like, he can't be, there's just bigger things going on, things bigger than Andy. And I just, I'm so frustrated with her. I was on Twitter like tweeting about it today. I was tweeting about it, and I was just like, I'm so frustrated with her. I can't with her. I'm so mad. I'm getting a cold. So John's whole thing in this episode is that he doesn't want everything that they did to be for nothing. So his focus becomes saving the acid secreting mutant. That guy ends up dying and everything, and he knew he was going to die. But so that's John's whole thing. He doesn't want all of this, all the losses that they've taken, to be for nothing. And I get it, but I'm tired of it. So excuse me. I'm tired of all of them. Lauren finally realizes that Andy believes in the mission. I mean, we see Andy, you know, he feels bad about what he did to Lauren, that he hurt Lauren, but we also see him talking with the girl Rebecca, and basically he tells her that his family just didn't understand, his sister didn't understand him. So while Andy doesn't want to hurt his sister, he also believes in the Reva way. And I was like, a few weeks ago, I was like, maybe Andy is sort of like teetering, like he's questioning his life choices. But no, Andy is more resolute in this episode than he's been since ever. So, Andy is firmly, he's firmly on the side of Reva, I believe. Yeah. And so Lauren realizes it too. So she tells her dad, that Andy is like really, that Andy is about that Reva life. So, and I can't believe that they, like, how long is it going to take them to really get it? I mean, I want this to be them finally understanding that Andy made his decision, that he's not a little boy. He's still a minor, but he's not a 5-year-old. He's not being, and while he might be being manipulated, this is what he believes right now. So I want the rest of the Struckers to understand who Andy is at this moment. I'm not asking them to stop wanting to get him back or any of that stuff, but I would like there to be some recognition that Andy is making some bad decisions right now, and that he's not a baby, and that he wasn't kidnapped. I need Caitlin to realize that. Reed, Lauren is his baby girl. He loves her. He obviously loves Andy too, but Reed has his own problems. Like he's got to deal with his powers. Like, I don't know what is going on with that guy. So I want him to like deal with his powers, you know, listen to what John said. Don't try to suppress your powers again. Learn how to use that shit. These people, the Struckers, man, the Struckers are frustrating. I just can't with them. So no Reva in this episode. She's according to one of the cuckoos, she's out on a mission trying to like furthering their plan. Like, we don't know what she's up to. But let's get to Rebecca, Reva's new secret weapon. Rebecca, who was locked away. She was locked away in that mental institution by herself. Like she was one of the she was the one of the mutants that they had to keep drugged, because the collars that they used to suppress their powers She was one of the mutants those didn't work on. The acid secreting guy was also one, because the acid that he was secreting melted the collars, and her power, it wouldn't work on her power either. I don't know why that would be, though. Her power is to invert things. So we see her like turn cans inside out. We see her turn a car completely inside out. So I don't know why that power specifically is something that Reva is like dying to have, but I mean, we'll see like what she can do on a larger scale, but she does like completely invert a car, a police car in this episode. So like, she is no good. like, what happens to her in the mental institution is terrible. We see like little flashes of her being tortured in the mental institution, but clearly she's a problem. And her and Angsty Andy together is going to be like, ooh, I can't, not, like, I don't know what these two are going to get up to, because they blow up a fucking police car. Like, Andy takes her out. He takes her out because she hasn't seen the outside in like a year. And he's allowed to go out, and Lorna tells him, you know, be careful. And then they go out, and she's using her powers out in like the regular world in front of people, like while they're sitting at an outside table having lunch. She's, you know, turning her can of soda inside out. She's inverting glass, and it's like, ugh. And then they blow up a police car together. So she turns the police car completely inside out. And then she tells Andy, like, hey, show me what you do. And so he ends up blowing up the police car. So it's like, these two are toxic twins. They don't need to be with each other. Like, they're no good for each other. So I can't wait to see how that's going to go bad, because, whoa. Oh my God. So, Andy's the only one that can get through to her, because the cuckoos start out, they want to see her power. The cuckoos and Lorna, they want to see her powers. They're being kind of aggressive with her. I'm like, this girl just got out of a mental institution. Lorna should know better, because she talks about how she was in, you know, one of those institutions too. But they're like on her. They're like being really aggressive and, you know, telling her they need to, like, we need you, just being more aggressive than they need to be. And it's like, cuckoos, you read minds, like, you should be better. You should be better at this. But no, I think they're scared of Reva. Like, they don't want Reva to get back and have this girl not be doing what she's supposed to be doing. So they're like, fuck that. Like, Reva is a bad bitch, because she is not in this episode at all, and that's all the cuckoos talk about. Like, Reva, Reva needs this girl. Like, she's an important part of Reva's plan. We have to have her ready. Like, Reva is no fucking joke that she doesn't even make an appearance in this episode, and the cuckoos are shook. So, yeah, so that's the thing. Like, this is Andy's new girlfriend. By the end of the episode, she's using her powers. Andy talks to her. The first time he sees her use her powers, is on a little tennis ball that he's throwing against the wall. And he's talking to her about how, like, he's basically comparing their stories, and it had me dying, because she has been in a mental institution, locked up, basically in solitary confinement, being tortured for a year. And Andy is like, yeah, what happened to you was terrible. It's sort of like high school, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, you were bullied in high school. That was bad. Like, those boys beating you up was bad. But You were also a coddled and spoiled child. You know, your mother loves you to no end. She'd do anything for you. But yeah, Andy, you and this girl have so much in common. Like, you have both struggled so much. If I was her, I would have slapped the shit out of him. I'm like, get the fuck out of here with your bullshit about high school. Like, I would have, like, if I'm her, I'm like, she probably dreamed of being bullied in high school. She's in a mental institution being tortured and experimented on. And Andy is comparing his high school trauma. Oh, I was just so, I was like, that's such a white dude move. Like, it's just such a privileged, I can't even with him. Like, I understand everybody has problems. And what happened to Andy was, like, really bad. Like, he was being beat up and being treated really badly in high school. I get it. Bullied and everything. But it was just so, whatever. It worked on her. So Andy's got a little bit of game. He, with his platinum blonde hair and his black turtleneck, you know, it worked on that girl. So that's all with the Andes and the Rebeccas of it all. And we'll end with Clarice and Marcos. So Clarice and Marcos take the rest of the fugitive mutants to the Morlocks, to Urg. And they're refugees, basically. Clarice has to convince Urg to take them in because Urg doesn't want to. He's like, yo, like, what are you doing bringing people down here? And he only agrees to help them for something in exchange, for Clarice to do something in exchange. And I like the interactions between Clarice and Urg. Clarice has that sort of, she has that sort of, you know, irreverent personality where she's asking like personal questions, but she's asking in sort of like a jokey way. So she asks Urg why he wears the patch over his eye, and she basically says like, yo, what's going on under there? Like, what what's with the eye? And it's like, nobody ever would ask that question the way that she did. But it was kind of funny, but turns out not so funny, because Urg explains that he lost his eye from getting beat up when his powers manifested. And his power is to absorb energy and, you know, release an equal amount of energy. And Clarice is like, well, why were you getting beaten up if you're powers hadn't manifested yet? And he's like, because I'm black? Like, come on, girl. So I like in this show that they don't forget about race. That they still, you know, that they deal with the race of it all. Not that you aren't just different when you have because you're a mutant, that you also face discrimination for your racial differences as well. So it's like real life and, you know, sort of the mutant thing of it all too. So I like that they don't forget that. They did it with Reva too, where she said she was getting, you know, she was getting discriminated against not just because she was mutant. First it was because she was black, then it was because she was mutant. So yeah, I like that. So, the only way that the refugees can stay is if they agree to be, branded with the M on their faces. And you know, Marcos freaks out about that because he befriends one of the patients, one of the refugees, who also has like this power to create light, these little light balls. I don't know what they do. It's just a balls of light that she could create. So they have sort of similar powers, I guess. And so he sort of befriends her, and I think that they're trying to create a sort of like Marcos is kind of, he seemed kind of into her. So are they trying to create some sort of competition? You know, like Marcos has these two options. I don't know. I mean, maybe this woman won't come back and it'll just be nothing. But I'm thinking that the Morlocks are going to be a part of this. So I don't know. But yeah, so Marcos was getting on my nerves in this episode. So Clarice takes them all down to, you know, the Morlocks live in the sewers, and Marcos is complaining about the smell. And it's like, Marcos, do you think it was just so, it was really annoying, because it was like he was complaining about the smell, and he's, you know, it's just basically, look how horrible these people are. Look at the way they live. And it's like, Marcos, like, calm the fuck down. Like, come on. Like, this is what they're choosing to do. This is the where they're choosing to live. You aren't better than them just because you live on the surface. You know, this is what they're doing to protect themselves. Like, don't be a dick about it. Clarice and Erg talk. Clarice finally gets her code name Blink, because Erg asks her, you know, what she does, to explain what she does to him. And she says that she blinks from place to place. And he's like, Blink, never hide yourself. So she finally has her code name Blink. Yay, I guess. It was kind of heavy handed the way that it happened, because I don't know. Would you describe what she does as a blink? I blink from place to place, or, you know, I tell, whatever. It's not important. They just needed to come up with the name Blink for her, and they did it. So I'm not going to complain too much about it. What she helps Erg do, what he wants her to do, is they basically go to a Costco to get supplies for everybody. And while she's mad that they're stealing, he tells her, like, you know, this is how things work for him. And he basically just lays it all out for her, like, for Clarice, like, yo, the inner circle fight with humanity is a bunch of bullshit. It's just going to lead to, like, senseless deaths. The underground's mission is just as bad, because they have a pipe dream of coexistence with humans, and he doesn't believe in dreams. He believes in cornflakes. And he hands her a box of cornflakes, to take back down with them. And, you know, he tells her that they just want to be left alone. But I don't, you know, I completely get where he's coming from. Like, you don't, like, coexistence. I mean, I guess that's what we talk about in the world right now. We just want to coexist. But it's also like, coexistence is what we're kind of doing, but it doesn't seem to make things a whole lot better. Yeah. And people hate you anyway, so they're not, I don't know. Coexistence is like a nice word, nice thing to use, but then it just, maybe it breeds contempt as well. You know, trying to coexist with people that don't actually want you around. But, you know, what are you going to do? We all can't run down to the sewers. We all can't just be separate. We tried that. Segregation was that, and segregation was not great. not great for anybody that wasn't a white person. So yeah. And the Erg way of doing things, of branding yourself, you know, he explains to Marcos how, you know, they get to live free down there, but it's like, and the mutants that don't have a visible mutation have to brand themselves with the M. But What kind of choice was that? Because he told the refugees they couldn't stay unless they, you know, were branded with the M on their face. And they obviously don't have anywhere else to go. So they chose to be branded. But I just feel like that's such a harsh thing to do. I mean, obviously their society, they make the rules that they want, and they didn't have to stay, but it's not really a choice if these other people don't really have anywhere else to go. Like, they could have chosen not to be branded, but where were they going to go? They can't live anywhere else. They're being hunted. Like, people are looking for them. So yeah, I hated it. I really don't like being the people being branded with the M. I don't like that being Erg's thing, because he talks like, you know, being down there, that there's freedom down there, but it's not really freedom if you have to be like everybody else. It feels like, you know, he's trying to make it so that they all blend in. So like, if you have a visible mutation, and then these other people around you are choosing to mutilate themselves in order to fit in with you. But I don't know, just something about that really doesn't sit right with me. And I don't like the branding of it all. But Erg and Clarice seem to be getting closer. So I'm wondering if they're trying to set up a thing where Clarice is going to... Is Clarice going to join the Morlocks? That's what it kind of feels like to me. Because she seems to be buying into the Erg way of it. You know, Erg is the one that tells her she should never hide herself. You know, her ears and her eyes, don't wear the contacts and everything. And while that sounds all good, he also wants to the society where people have to brand their faces in order to be accepted down there. So yeah, I don't want Clarice to fall in with them. I think all of these groups have their own problems. And yeah, I'm just not about that living in the sewer type life. So yeah. So Morlocks, do whatever you want, but I'm not about that life. And I don't want Clarice to be about that life. So that is basically the end of the episode, you guys. I don't even have any predictions for next week. I just want Reva to come back because I love her and she hasn't been in my life in a while, so I need to see her again. I'm really interested to see this fight from next week, because in the preview scenes for next week, Reva is there and there's some friction between her and Lorna. So I want to know what the hell is going on with that. Yeah, so I'm excited for the next episode. So, coming up on the podcast, Black Lightning. My next episode will be on the most recent episode of Black Lightning. So, stay tuned for that. That should be on Saturday or Sunday. I forget which one. This episode will be out on Friday. Follow me on the socials. I'm on Twitter at NerdTravertPod. Use the hashtag NerdyWatch to live tweet and chat with me. On Instagram, I'm at TheIntrovertedNerd. And like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheIntrovertedNerd. you can go to TheIntrovertedNerd.com to get all of the back episodes. So if you want to listen to all of the episodes of the Saved by the Bell rewatch, or my two episodes of Stranger Things, I got to really get back into Stranger Things. Like, I kind of quit like halfway through that. It was a little too much for me. But the two episodes I did on Stranger Things, yeah, go back and listen to those. Those were early episodes. What else? Oh, and Black Lightning. I reviewed the whole first season of Black Lightning, so you can go back and listen to that too. If you want to send me feedback on any of this stuff, send it to theintrovertednerd@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everybody, later.